There weren't always tremors. Those had only started in the last few days. Worse each day. He'd had to gently tease her shaking fingers apart to interlock their withered hands. One arm rested by her side, her head on a soft white pillow. Gray hair fell in sparse wisps over her eyes. Cords extended from electrodes stuck to her body, capturing her pulse, thrumming in time with his. Her free hand rested on his chest, feeling his heartbeat.
"So strong," she said.
"Won't last," he replied, reclining slightly in the bedside chair.
"You do believe me, don't you?"
she asked. He stroked her hair, twirling a thin cluster of strands around his finger. He smiled.
"Of course."
He rolled the strands between his fingers. Her free hand shot to his. His shoulders tensed.
"But?"
she asked.
"But what?"
"You only do that when you're nervous," she replied, pinching his fingers between her own and feebly forcing them through the motions of rolling her hair again.
"It's new territory," he said.
"Death?" she asked.
"Loneliness. You know I'll be there for you."
He squeezed her hand, screwed his eyes shut.
"Of course. It won't be long, you know, between us. Any time is longer than I'd like."
She smiled.
"Charmer," she said.
He twirled her hair.
"So, what is it, really?"
she asked. He looked out the window, then back to her with a heavy sigh, leaning forward, head in his hands.
"I'm still not sure why," he said.
The pulses echoed, first the pump of his, a cavernous echo in his chest, then the electric chirp of hers, dragging ever so slightly behind.
80 years is more than enough.
They'd had the conversation dozens of times in the last year, hundreds over their lifetime. What had begun as a hypothetical medicine had made a reality. What began as a spirited debate where neither's mind ever changed, but each had laid out their arguments with the bristling passion that reminded both why they had married, had become a wedge, lowering itself just a little deeper each time the subject arose. He nodded, held her hand, ran his thumb across the back, feeling the softness, the warmth.
"Yes, of course."
He kissed her hand, her cheek, her lips. He didn't know how long he sat, but silence turned to sleep, and he woke to the droning tone of a heart long stopped. Each beat of his own was a thunderous roar under his ribs. The smell of chemical sanitizers clung to the inside of his nostrils.
"Mr. Markov."
He sat bolt upright with a sharp intake of breath, his vision resolved to clarity, to his doctor standing in the doorway.
"We're ready for you."
He blinked, glancing to her, then back to the door.
"Now?"
"Yes. We don't normally separate vital reversal from integumentary or musculoskeletal procedures. The longer we wait, the more difficult this will be."
"I..."
"You can, of course, take your time. Your loss is a staggering one. I just caution you that my confidence about a reversal beyond your vitals wavers the longer you wait." His chin quivered.
Yes, I see."
He gripped her hand tighter. It wasn't warm anymore.
"Will she be taken care of?"
"Of course. Her will is on file, as are your requests for funeral arrangements, including your adjacent plots, although..." The doctor sighed, tapping his pen on his clipboard. "I mean no disrespect, Mr. Markov, but are you sure that's wise?" He only looked at the doctor, didn't say a word.
"I mean, sir," the doctor continued, "that barring any unforeseen accidents, a possibility which I must stress will always exist, you're going to be alive for quite a long time."
"Yes," he said, never meeting the doctor's gaze, though not for lack of trying.
"I'm sure."
The doctor cocked his head. Mr. Markov didn't move, squeezed her hand tighter.
"Understood," the doctor said. "Room 312 when you're ready. Again, take your time, but bear in mind it's best we begin this process soon.